Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1, page 1072 in your Scofield Bible. And beginning with the 67th verse, we'll read through verse 75. Verses 67 through verse 75, we'll read the verses responsively. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? And these words are occasioned by the birth of John the Baptist. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And together on the text verse, verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us another occasion to meet together as a church family. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the many sacrifices by many hundreds of thousands of people who lived in years past, who kept all the bills paid and kept this a place of fundamentalism and Bible preaching and kept it until this day. Thank you for our preacher and bless as he comes to minister to so many needs that are here in this auditorium this morning. Nearly every individual represents some different kind of need. We pray that you'd help us, O Holy Spirit, with the needs that we have to keep on going and help us to listen that we might have what we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you without your turning to it one statement we read a while ago. I read from the book of Luke, chapter 1. And verse number 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. The title of my message this morning is Holiness and Righteousness. I'm going to tell you this morning what has destroyed America. Let me ask you please to put your pens and pencils up. I'm preaching to your heart this morning and not to your notebook. This is a church and not a classroom. I want you to look at me and listen carefully. I'm going to tell you this morning what has destroyed your country. And by the way, she's about destroyed. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you this morning how every good Christian became such. Every single good Christian you know became a good Christian by doing what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to tell you this morning how you can lack what you ought to like and lack to do what you ought to do. I promise you, if you listen carefully, you'll not walk out of here saying that was a great sermon. But I'll promise you, you'll say that is the secret to becoming a good Christian. Holiness and righteousness. Father, bless me as I speak today to be what our people need in the next few minutes. Teach us today what we ought to learn so tomorrow we'll do what we ought to do because we have become what we should have become. Give us attentive minds, alert minds, responsive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you about 23. I'm going to give you 23 definitions this morning of holiness and righteousness. Now, it'll be a bit boring for you, but if you listen carefully, the foundation of what I'm going to say will be laid. Holiness is righteousness of character, or rightness of character. Let me say it again. Holiness is rightness of character. Righteousness is rightness of conduct. Holiness is inward goodness. Righteousness is outward goodness. Holiness, as you've already observed, is internal. Righteousness is external. Listen to every statement now. Holiness is what I am. Righteousness is what I do. Holiness is let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Righteousness is let the words of my mouth be acceptable. Holiness, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Righteousness, let the words of my mouth be acceptable. Holiness is knocking on the door of heaven. Righteousness is knocking on the door of sinners. Holiness is before God. Righteousness is before man. If you listen to these, you'll have a foundation for all I'm going to say in a few minutes. Holiness is 120 people in the upper room praying. Righteousness is that same group scattered abroad everywhere proclaiming God's method plan of salvation. Holiness is Jesus in Gethsemane yielding to the will of God. Righteousness is Jesus on Calvary doing the will of the Father. Holiness is the prayer closet. Righteousness is the giving of alms. Holiness is worship of God. Righteousness is work for God. Holiness is ministering to God. Righteousness is ministering to His people. Holiness is being justified by faith in the sight of God, and righteousness is being justified by works in the sight of man. Holiness is Paul with God 3 years on the Arabian desert. Righteousness is that same Paul taking the gospel to the Western world. Holiness is Moses alone with God for 40 years. Righteousness is Moses obeying the will of God and leading the Israelites for 40 years. Holiness is praying for the poor. Righteousness is helping the poor. Don't leave me. Holiness is a clean mind. Righteousness is a clean tongue. Holiness is the motive. Righteousness is the action. Holiness is thinking right. Righteousness is acting right. Holiness is thou shalt not covet. Righteousness is thou shalt not steal. Holiness is not looking at a woman to lust after her in your heart. Righteousness is not being immoral with her. Holiness is not hating. Righteousness is not hurting. Holiness is a clean living room. Righteousness is a clean porch and front yard. Holiness is what one thinks, and righteousness is what one does. All those statements, are you listening? All those statements simply to tell you holiness is what a man is on the inside, and righteousness is what a man does on the outside. Now, the age-old question is, which comes first? We fundamentalists like to talk about, look at me now, look at me, I'm preaching to you. Put your pens up, look at me, I'm preaching to you. We fundamentalists like to say an awful lot about what is on the outside. And well, we should. It does matter how you dress. It does matter how you wear your hair. It does matter what kind of music you sing. My Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. On the other hand, the neo-evangelical says that the inside is most important, and what you are on the inside is the big thing. Now the question comes, is it inside out or outside in? Don't leave me. Wake up if you're asleep. Listen carefully. Is Christianity inside out or is it outside in? Now the answer to that question is this. It's both. It is both. Follow me? Get this now. You do it by practicing it until you do it by habit. Good starts on the outside and works its way in until it's on the inside, and then the inside forces good to be done by the outside. Are you listening? Anybody home? Burp your Thanksgiving dinner and listen to me now. I said again, first you work in from the outside. You force yourself to do right. Well, you guys don't believe you'll be forced to do right. Your mama goofed when she didn't force you to do right. Now, the honest, simple truth is, you do it by practice until you do it by habit. At first, you force it from the outside in, and then it works its way out to the outside. This is true about walking. You know how you learn to walk? Somebody forced you to walk. You put you on the here and you tried to walk and you fell down and they put you up again and you took and you fell down again and you were forced. But you know, this morning I didn't get up and say, now I've got to figure out, this foot's got to go here and then this foot. No, it's on the inside. I know how to walk now. I never think about how should I walk, but I was taught to, from the outside in, how to walk till walking is on the inside. Riding a bicycle the same way. You learn to ride a bicycle from the outside in. I'm 73 years old. I can get on a bicycle right now, and I can ride it, not as far, but just as well as I did years and years ago. But there, it's inside of me how I balance myself riding a bicycle. The other day, I was in a gymnasium, a church, a school. Church had a school, and the school had a gymnasium. I walked through, and here was the basketball. And the goal was about as far as me here, from me to Jack Scott here. And I just took the basketball, and I hooked it, and it swished. It was the 38th try, but it did switch. Now, you know why? Because I used to play the post when I was playing basketball, and a hook shot is normal for me. It's on the inside, just like pitching a softball, fast pitch softball is normal for me. It worked its way on the inside and the outside. For example, Mama taught me to stand when a woman walks in the room. Now, we used to practice it. I'd sit down, a woman would walk in the room, I'd stand up, and I'd sit down, she'd walk back in the room, she'd take my sister, and my sister would walk in the room, and I would stand up. I don't do it anymore because Mama's dead, but I stood up, and instinctively, I was forced to stand up, and forced to stand up, and forced to stand up. Now then, I don't care where I am, if a woman walks in the room, it's on the inside of me. I stay seated. Want to see if you're listening, that's all. I stand up instinctively. Now, hey, you know why some of you folks don't like my preaching? Well, because you haven't forced yourself to like my preaching. You sit and oh, I don't like loud preaching. Let me tell you how you can like loud preaching. You can listen to what I say carefully and keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming till it'll work its way on the inside. And then you go visit somewhere else. If they don't kick over a microphone, you'll think the guy's pussyfooting. You learn to like preaching that way. Hey, I got a phone call about 3 years ago. A man had gotten mad years before and left our church. I picked up the phone. He said, "Scream at me." And I said, "What?" He said, "Scream at me." I said, "Who is this?" He said, "Doesn't matter who I am. Scream at me." I still don't know who he was. He said, "I got mad, left the First Baptist Church about 5 years ago." He said, I didn't like your loud preaching. He said, "But the truth is, I've been looking for somebody to scream at me for 5 years. I don't know who he was." He said, "I'm not coming back. I'm upset with you. I'm not coming back. I just called to tell you, scream at me." And I got news from some of you tranquil people who are tranquil at church and a wild Indian at a football game. I got some news for you. There are people in this room that like it. And those same people didn't like it the first time they came to hear it. What happened? they listened, and they listened, and it worked its way in. So finally, that which they worked its way in was a part of them, and now when they come to church, they expect somebody to get excited. Mama taught me to give my seat to a lady. And by the way, this country is in desperate need of manners, courtesies. My mama taught me how to, if a lady walked in, I was sitting down, I gave her my seat. We were in Bergen, Norway, on one of these, trams? Tramp, going up the top of the mountain. And here was a lady gets on, and all the seats were taken. I get up and gave her my seat. She couldn't believe what she saw. But the truth is, my mama taught me to do that. Now, I didn't like it at first. Well, black and white, girl, ain't got to have a seat instead of me. She's bigger than I am. Still is. But why? But see, Mama, I it worked this way. I forced it. I was down in Dallas, Texas, and going to Longview to preach, and I got on one of these little commuter flights, had to take a bus from the terminal out to the plane. And on that bus, I got on, and there were no seats, and a young lady got up and gave me her seat. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm giving you my seat." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because of your age." I said, "Sit back down." Now, it's on the inside. Say, doing right must be forced at first. Doing wrong will force its way in. It must not be forced, but you can do right so long until you will instinctively then do right. You do it and do it. It comes in the inside. You begin to like it, and then instinctively you'll do right. And that's why America has lost her decency, and that's why we've lost our character, and that's why we've lost our principles. Our moms and dads and teachers and leaders have not forced our children to do what's right, to get to on the inside, and then they grow up. It's instinctive for them to do that which is right. Boy, this is good. Same thing's true about music. Nobody likes good music at first. You know, I'm talking about Handel's Messiah. First time I ever heard that thing, I thought somebody was cracking up. Make that crooked straight. Never saw something so crooked. I heard something so crooked in my life. Good music is not instinctive. You don't believe it? Go to the Savages and see what music they like. But you can be forced. Hear me now. You can be forced to like good music. Listen to good music and force yourself to listen to good music. It'll work its way on the inside, and once it's on the inside, then you like good music. That's why they got a bunch of savages with rock concerts while going around America today. I don't know why they never have been trained, been taught to do right and do right and do right till right gets on the inside and works its way out. Same thing's true with good manners. Good manners create kindness of heart, which brings forth good manners. Good music creates a good soul, which brings forth good music. Proper clothing creates an inner propriety, which creates proper clothing. Proper clothing is forced in, and then it works its way out to proper clothing. Good music is forced in, and then it works its way out to good music. And good manners are forced in. They work their way out to good manners. And if some of you moms and dads would quit your bowling leagues and quit your being acting like a bunch of teenagers and go home and sit down and teach your kids good manners and decency and make those kids do what they ought to do, it'll work its way in so someday they'll want to do what they ought to do. That's what the Bible means in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts good manners. What does it mean? It means first, you talk right. And then you think right. And then you talk right. And act right. Old story. We used to have a black cat. And a black cat with a little white porcelain stove in the bathroom, right beside the lavatory. A little black cat used to get up there and put its back feet on the porcelain
in his right front teeth on the lavatory and watched me shave. Wintertime came. Got you back, didn't I? Wintertime came. The stove was lit. The cat jumped up on the stove and kept on going. But you know that cat never liked that stove again. In July, that cat wouldn't get on that stove. Now, the truth is this. Here's how every great Christian became a great Christian. He did what he was supposed to do when he did not enjoy doing it. And he did it, and he did it, and did it, and did it, and did it. It became habit. It became by reflex. And then from the inside out, that kind of attitude and soul health that was made by forcing yourself to do what's right, then that decided, I like to do what's right. And America needs an old-fashioned revival of discipline and training about what's right to do. And then instinctively, we'll want to do that which is right. Rock music is a result of not learning to like good music. I sang Amazing Grace till it got inside me, and now it brings forth Amazing Grace. I like Amazing Grace better than I like this so-called religious rock. Why? Because I was trained to like what I ought to like. And it worked its way on the inside. Are you listening to me? Until it, now then, it works its way out, and now I would rather hear Amazing Grace than religious rock because I was taught to lack Amazing Grace. That's what it means. Holiness is on the inside. Righteousness is on the outside. Which comes first? Righteousness comes first, works its way in, and then the person chooses to do righteousness because it becomes holiness. You train your soul to what to like. And then you force it until your soul likes it. Character is doing right by reflex. Doing right by reflex is caused by forcing yourself to do right. You make a child do right until right is inward. And that inward right will make the doing of right instinctive for the child. Let me say it again. You make a child do right until right is inward. And that inward right will make the doing of right instinctive. By reflex, he'll do that which is right. So, the evangelical that says the outside is not important hadn't even learned how to make the inside right yet. It can't be. You don't get the inside right unless you work it in. So the evangelical, so-called, who says that the inside is most important and the outside is not important, can't even train the inside, get the inside right, because you can't get the inside right, it works in from the outside, and right is done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it works its way in and in and in and in till the soul is changed and the soul likes to do what it didn't like to do because it habitually has been doing it. You break an arm. And some of you that are sleeping right now, I'd like to break your arm. You break an arm. The doctor puts a cast on that arm. What's that cast here? It's to force that arm to the right position. And that cast stays on there until that arm will stay in the right position without force. And that's what training is. It's the placing of the cast on a child's life, or even your own life. If you're 40 years old, you can still do right because you're supposed to do right. And I don't care if you're 40 years old, you keep on doing right, keep on doing right, keep on doing right, keep on doing right. You'll like to do right after you've done it long enough. But you cannot get the inside to work its way out until you get the outside has worked its way in. So force yourself to pray. I said, force yourself to pray. I don't like to pray. Nobody likes to pray at first. God, rather go out and talk to somebody you can't see more than watch Notre Dame play football. fact, I think I'd rather watch Notre Dame play football this year than pray because of my prayer. That's the answer to my prayers. Record of 5-7. This is a wonderful year for me. I'm not looking in certain directions in the audience this morning. But nobody wants to pray at first. But I got news for you. Listen now. You listen. You pray when you don't like it, and 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 after a while you can't wait to get to the prayer closet. Because right has worked its way in by the force of habit, and when it's worked its way in, it's changed the inside and changed your taste, and then you want to pray. You take this book right here. It's not very pretty. There are no pictures in it. There are no baseball scores in it. It's not very exciting book to look at. But, and by the way, at first, it's not fun to read. You know, Joaz begat Jabez, and Jabez begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat some other fat kids, and Rehoboam begat Jeroboam, and they had some boys, and oh, you know, it's just not, but there's to do. Listen carefully. You get this book, and you force yourself to read that book 15 minutes a day. And force yourself to read it. 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 And force yourself. It gets on the inside. And bless God, when you've got a problem, you'll grab that book and read it to give you the strength that you already have. Why? Because you like it now. But you never, nobody ever liked this book the first time they picked it up. That's the same way with dressing properly. Miss Howell's a little girl. Her mother taught her to dress properly. Her teachers taught her to dress properly. They required her to dress properly. There were rules about dress. Be seated, please, over here. Have a seat. She was required. Look at me. She was required. I'm sure there were times when she said, "Oh, Mama." Mama said, "Don't you awe me." Bang! She wore it. I'm sure there were times she said, "Mama, the other girls are not dressed like that." Mama said, "You're not one of the other girls." And she was forced to dress right, and forced to dress right, and forced to dress right, and forced to dress right. So now she wants to dress right. That's what life is all about. That's what has ruined America. We have not made our people to work right by habit and continual doing it until it comes on the inside, and then the inside brings forth the outside. Yes, you do right because it's right on because the condition on the inside. And right ought to be done by what's on the inside, but it won't get on the inside till you do it by habit. Same thing is true about witnessing to the unsaved. Force it. Force it. I've often said I never want to go soul winning. Never. 73 years old, been preaching, pastoring 52 years, and don't want to go soul winning yet. But once I get out there, I do not want to quit because it worked its way on the inside, until finally the inside forced its way out to the outside. Same is true about coming to church. There are people here this morning. You're looking at your watch right now. There are others who are looking at your calendar. But you're looking at your watch right now. And you can't wait to get to T-Bones or McDonald's or wherever your feeding trough is. You can't wait. There are others. And by the way, if at 12:05 I'm still screaming, you're going to be shaking to see if it's running. But I got news. There are people here right now. If I announced right now I'm going to preach to 1 o'clock, would say, "Amen, praise the Lord." You know why? Because they forced themselves to like preaching. They forced themselves to listen. A young lady said the other day, she said, another young lady, she said, Brother Hiles is getting better. And then she said, no, he's not. I'm just listening. Personally, I think both are true. The boy, she told my sermon, Brother Hiles is getting better. No, I am just listening. And you listen, if you listen to what I've said this morning, you learned enough to transform your life. And you listen and listen when you don't want to listen, and it'll work. You listen when you don't want to, and 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 listen when you don't want to, until all of a sudden it gets on the inside, then you want to listen. There's not a single kid, not a single hippie, of what could be taught to like good music if you'd force its way in. But evil forced its way in. You don't have to force it. Good must be forced in by you or someone else. Evil breaks in. Evil knocks down the fence and breaks its way in. But good is rather shy. And good will not force its way on the inside. But good, you get this now, good will never get on the inside until you keep on doing it and keep on doing it from the outside. And then after a while, good music, conversation, church, preaching, doesn't matter. It will force its way out if you force its way in. They come to me with the dozens, hundreds a year, and say, Brother Hiles, I just can't seem to do right. The guy said to me, you've heard this time and time again, Brother Hiles, I have a problem with lying. How can I overcome it? I said, I can tell you easily how to overcome it. Start telling the truth all the time. Now, you, first thing you say, well, how will I know what's right? There's a book here that tells you what's right. And there's a conscience that'll tell you what's right. And anybody's got the brains, you say, of a nanny goat, I'm not sure my brain's a nanny goat has, but if you got the brains of a nanny goat, you know that something wrong with rock music. You know that. But it gets on the inside of you. A lady said to me, she said, I was reared Polish Catholic. She said, you want me to Christ. She said, I know that this is Christianity. And I know that what I used to have was... But she said, to this day, something inside of me wants a quiet liturgical service. Do you think when she was a little girl, she went to Mass and said, hot dog? Do you think when she was a little girl, she went to Mass and said, oh, I love this? She went to Mass when she didn't like it, and she kept on going because she had to go. And it was working its way in and in and in and in and in until finally it's on the inside, and though she'd been saved, came to our church and believed this is New Testament Christianity, there was something on the inside that was there. Why? Because Mama and Daddy had forced her to do that over and over and over and over again. Now listen carefully. Every single good Christian in this room or in this world took the route I talked about this morning. Every single one. It's not instinct. I just have a hot temper by nature. You corral that temper, force yourself to, and curb it, 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 and curb it. Because you'll develop a soul on the inside that will not want to have a hot temper anymore. And so holiness is the most important. But holiness never comes until righteousness is forced. And once righteousness is forced, the inside becomes holy. And that holiness on the inside brings forth the fruit of righteous acts on the outside, because righteousness came in and became holiness, and holiness came out, and that became righteousness. Would you bow your heads, please?